You're listening to Song Exploder, where musicians take apart their songs and piece by piece tell the story of how they were made. I'm Hrishikesh Hirway. Song Exploder is brought to you by Progressive, where drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. Quote now at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. In this episode, Jimmy Laval from the album Leaf breaks down his song, The Outer Banks. The album Leaf is primarily a solo project, but for The Outer Banks, Jimmy collaborated with members of the Icelandic band Sigur Rós. Coming up, Jimmy strips the song down to its parts and talks about the value of letting go of control during recording. Here's The Outer Banks by the album Leaf on Song Exploder.
My name is Jimmy Laval, and I do the album Leaf. Sigur Rós in 2001 asked me to tour with them. I had never heard of them at the time, and it was when the first record came out. Egetisbjörn, I think is what it is. That's how you say it. Basically, they picked up my record that was out at the time in 2001, which was One Day I'll Be On Time. At a record shop in Iceland. Then they all heard the record and invited me on tour. 2001 was my first tour with them. 2003 was my second. And kind of my band, my backing band for that 2003 European tour turned out to be, you know, Carrie, Maria, and Ori from Sigur Rós, which is who's on this song. Because of that tour in 2003, they had their own studio in Iceland, Sigur Rós did, and invited me to come out and make a record at their studio. It's like, hey, come out to Iceland, record at our studio. It's great. It's beautiful. It's, you know, serene. It's magical, blah, 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 blah. We have all this amazing equipment. Sure, of course, I will come out to Iceland and record a record because that sounds like something I would really like to do. I just got a loop pedal, a Kai Head Rush, which I use to this day on my Rhodes piano. So originally the Rhodes loop that you hear that starts the song was basically a loop that I made, you know, with my head rush pedal. So that loop is consistent throughout the whole song, basically, and the whole song is kind of structured and written underneath that loop. I had, with my microkorg, just kind of came up with a bass line underneath that loop. And I guess I tend to do that a lot, where the bass line is kind of more so the melody than the top. It's another thing is obviously I didn't have my own Rhodes piano that I normally used to record with out in Iceland. So we borrowed this, actually it was a studio Rhodes, which are the ones with the speakers cabinets attached to the bottom, and I play a stage. And the pedal of the Rhodes squeaked. So that's also in the recording, and we tried to bring it up. And I was kind of conscious of it too when we played it. So I'd be like, fuck, it squeaked again. But then I was like, I was into it.
So what made you decide to turn it up?
I think it was just because it was just really cool. It was just like, that's cool. I don't know. And it was natural to the take. It was natural to the environment, the memory, I guess, later. Like, you know, listening to these things. This was a song I recorded over 10 years ago. Now, it's kind of cool. Just like remember, oh yeah, that's right. I couldn't use my own Rhodes. I couldn't use any of my own stuff. I had to use all of their stuff that was there. Yeah, it was all these things. During the 2003 tour, I just remembered like I was always working on this song, like programming especially, because I kind of was really anal about programming. And I used a program called Fruity Loops, which was what I did the majority of my programming in. And I would basically import those files into Vegas Video and do a lot of my tweaking and, you know, drum tricks within Vegas, because you could stretch out waveforms and have it do the, like all those like weird sounds that you can hear in the programming. Kind kind of more Aphex Twin inspired things, like even like Square Pusher and Aphex Twin, a lot of No Twist. And coincidentally, ever since I switched to Mac and switched to Pro Tools, I've not done those sounds again because I haven't found a way to do them. Essentially, when I got to Iceland to make the record, the song was the first half of the song as you hear it. Basically, the Rhodes idea, the bass idea, and the drums programming. Those three ideas, which is basically how the song starts and what you first hear throughout the first half of it. I think the Glockenspiel comes in to tease on the melody, but that was something that Kjartan had added in Iceland. I think I was even gone to lunch or something, and I came back and Kjartan had put this Glockenspiel melody on there, which turned out to be kind of the main melody of the song. So there was that melody, and then that melody basically turned into, I think Maria, we just had Maria double it. And I added a Prodigy Moog on it and turned out to be this. Ori first came in and then heard this song, Outer Banks, and it's like, oh, I'll put drums on that. And I was really, really surprised by what Ori did. You know, he kind of like dropped in this beat it makes it feel like 3/4, what he's playing and the rhythm that he's, it's just this weird off rhythm that I did not expect at all. So as you hear by themselves, it doesn't really sound like the beat or the rhythm of the song at all, but it's the way that he laid them down underneath the electronic beats. It just creates this really cool counter, polyrhythm between the two instruments. Kjartan also added a Hammond B3 organ in there, which I think is really cool and really creepy, and it's got like really honest mistakes because he didn't really know the song. He kind of was like, learning it as he was tracking it. He kind of had like a starting point and was just like, oh, okay, that's okay, cool. And he's just kind of, it's in the same key the whole time, so he's just kind of like, jamming over it. And anticipated it and kind of opened it and drove it more, with the kind of, as the song builds, he builds the, the tone of the organ too, which I think is really, really cool. I can play that snip where he kind of like goes from, a nice soft organ and then turns it into kind of a really driven as the song opens up. You can hear him kind of like, oh yeah, it happens right there. Oh, let me throw on that bass line now. Oh, there it is. It's really cool. And like kind of just weird, it's kind of noodling around a little bit, trying to find the right thing. But it really works and it's really, really cool. I control a lot of what I do when I record, with the exception of probably these two records. I think I started to get a little bit more controlled after this record. Back then, I didn't really know how to edit like I do now, and that's kind of a dangerous thing too, because I'm pretty, quick and can fix things that are slightly off. I have to kind of always like let those things go. But when I record with people, I kind of like things to be in the moment and raw, and a lot of times it works, and if it doesn't work, I can always fix it. So, back then it was just like, it works. There's no like wrong note. He might not have like hit that D on the one, but he got there on like the 2.5 or something like that. Like not right there, but it still is cool and it's there and it works and it's awesome. Like in the towards the end of the song, I think Ori's meter and the actual drumming or actual programming of the song and the feel, Ori really wanted to push it and you can hear it to the end of the song. It kind of just gets kind of sloppy. But kind of in a really nice way. And I don't think I would have let that slide today. I probably would have gotten in and like fixed it and like made it, you know, controlled. But back then it was just like, oh, this is rad. This is cool, you know. I don't think there's been a show we've played since this record came out that we haven't played the song. I think still to this day, I mean, I have like, you know, I have a tattoo that's like an Iceland kind of reference. I am very fond of Iceland and my time that I spent there. And I think that some of the melodies, there's a melody in this song that is like a melody that means something to me. I don't know what it means. I don't know what it is, but I mean, I'll get choked up when I play that. When we hit that part of the song, I'll be like, oh yeah, there's that. It's like, it just feels like it's like happy, or like, you know, it's just like, oh, this part is so awesome to me. You know, it just makes me feel good. It's kind of where like the roads kind of starts to kind of like, you know, quote unquote solo, you know, and then the melody, that main melody comes back. That moment, like when those things happen together, I'm always just like, yeah, you know, I don't know, there's something about it that's just like, I don't know what it is. You know, it's not like my grandma died or my, you know, blah, 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 or whatever. It's just like, rah.
And now here's The Outer Banks by the album Leaf in its entirety. Visit songexploder.net for links to more info on the album Leaf, as well as Sigur Rós. You'll also find links to the influences that Jimmy mentioned, Aphex Twin, Square Pusher, and The No Twist. You can find all of the past episodes of the podcast and subscribe to future episodes at itunes.com/songexploder. You can also find Song Exploder on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. I send out mixtapes on Fridays on my newsletter. You can find links to all of these at songexploder.net. Song Exploder is a proud member of Radiotopia from PRX. My name is Hrishikesh Hirway. Thanks for listening. Radiotopia.